And truly it is to those for whom we sing, "It is well with my soul," that we come to God's word again this morning. And we are finding again that confidence that comes when our life is in Christ. And one of the ways that Christian life is experienced is as we spend time in prayer. And one time in the Gospel of Luke, and Matthew records it as well, the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus gave the disciples and the church what we know today as the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to continue that journey this morning. I encourage you to open a Bible with me to two passages. One is the one we've been using every Sunday in this series, and that's from Matthew 6. And the second text is from Ephesians 6, which is on page 1228. So we're in our journey in the Lord's Prayer, and we're looking at the final, or the sixth petition, in which Jesus teaches his disciples about what the protection plan is for those who follow him. Just a moment ago, we sang the words, "Though Satan should buffet." And that is a truth and a reality for which followers of Jesus Christ must contend with. And so Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, in the us section of the prayer, which is the prayers that we need to pray for ourselves, Jesus gives us a prayer of protection. If the fifth petition is for God's provision, and the fifth petition is for God's pardon, the sixth petition is God's protection. And we're going to look at that this morning, because the spiritual struggle is real. And what has God done? What is God giving to his children if they ask, what will he give them to help fight the good fight of faith? We're going to look at that this morning, but as we've done each Sunday, let's pause here for a moment and let's see what we profess using the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 127 of Lord's Day 52. I'll read the question and let's read the answer together this morning. What does the sixth request mean? "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one" means, by ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Well, as you can see, as we just professed, there is a spiritual struggle. And in the sixth petition, we're asking God, this is what we need, God, help us to stand firm. Help us to resist the evil one. And as we professed just a moment ago, we pray this prayer because by ourselves, and this is very humbling, we'll look at this in a sermon as well, by ourselves, we're too weak. We are too weak to stand or hold our own, even for a moment. The good news is that God's promise is he will never leave us alone. He will never forsake us. In the words of Jesus, "Lo," he says, "I am with you always." That being true, the passage we're going to look at next, or the passages, also tells us that there's something we need to do as well in order to take hold of God's protection plan. And that's in Ephesians chapter 6. Before we open God's word, though, let's ask the Spirit to be present once again for our ears and our hearts to hear God's word. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. As we've already heard this morning, there is a great spiritual struggle in the Christian life. And now we ask, as we just professed, that you, Holy Spirit, will come and equip us so that we may stand strong and firm in the great battle of faith. Equip us now for ears to hear and hearts to be just rent asunder so that we might be growing and nurturing our faith in Jesus Christ. To the ultimate goal of your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Again, the first passage is the one we've been looking at every Sunday, which is the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll look at Ephesians 6. We begin with this passage from Matthew 6. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Ephesians 6, Paul has this to say to the church about how to stand firm in the spiritual struggle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted or shodded with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. As I reflected the past week on this heavenly protection plan, my mind drifted and wandered a little bit, and that could be just because I was recovering from being so sick last Sunday. Lots of imagination was happening, but I was thinking about the auto industry. Being here in the state of Michigan, it was not a bad conjecture to make, but I did a little Googling. Trust me, I write the sermons. This is not AI generated, okay? But I did a little Googling on the history of safety in the automobile industry. Car safety's come a long way over the decades. One of the earliest safety additions to cars, and I kid you not, all of this is true because Google says it's true, okay? One of the first protection plans for automobiles was a hand-operated wiper blade. I mean, they, of course, had brakes and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, because driving, you know, right? If your windshield wiper blades don't work, I mean, it can be a big deal. What soon followed that were rear-view mirrors. You and I take that for granted. But in the 1930s, or that was in the 1930s. In the 1940s, safety glass windshields were made. They made their debut, and pretty soon they became a standard industry for all vehicles. Depending on your age, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand this morning, but depending on your age, you remember when cars didn't have seat belts, or all they had was the lap belt. Don't put your hand up. We don't need any recognition of that. But in the late 50s, so now we're another decade along, the three-point safety belt became a standard in all vehicles, and we probably take it for granted today. Jump forward into the 1960s, brake lights, turn signals, and backup lights were not just a recommendation, but then became a standard on all vehicles. And that's also about the time, by the way, that baby seats, I mean, they had, you've probably seen pictures of what they called baby seats back in the 30s and 40s, which were basically a steel death trap. But safety seats designed for crash protection. Those were designed in around the 60s. In the 70s, I know I'm giving you a great history of car safety protection plans, but in the 70s, airbags were first pioneered. They've come a long way since. Now you not only have front airbags, but you have side ones, and there's also roof ones. And that's all since the 1970s. In the 1980s, it was anti-lock braking. In the 90s, it was electronic stability control. and at the turn of the century, blind spot and lane departure warning systems. Now, I could say, rather tongue-in-cheek, that the reason all of these safety things were developed is because of our human error. We needed these things. But the reality is that all of this was part of the industry continuing to find ways to create protective environment for you and for me whenever we would drive. The goal was that in the event, and I don't know what the statistics are nationally, but in the event of a dangerous situation, any number of these features, maybe even only one of them, but combined together, their purpose is to protect the drivers, to protect the occupants of the vehicle. Even still today, I read a brief article this past week that car manufacturers continue to invest significant amount of time, energy, and resources into vehicle safety. Now, I know you know where I'm going with this. We're talking this morning about spiritual protection. And if there's any parallel, though it's a bit of a weak one, I would say that for all the energy and effort that's put into protecting us when we drive our cars, how much more shouldn't we put into the spiritual life? How much more, as our passage does this morning, as Jesus teaches in this prayer, shouldn't we take seriously God's protection program? And so Jesus gives us the sixth petition. The spiritual struggle is real, whether we realize it or not. Now, I will say some people over-realize the spiritual struggle, and it's as if they see the evil one or Satan in every sniffle. We're not going to go that far, but the spiritual struggle is real, and we have to embrace that fact and then talk about this morning how Jesus teaches us something. Because the reality is every day, and I know this in my own spiritual journey, but every day we are tempted. And every day, sadly, we give in to temptation. And not only does that tarnish the significance of your Christian life and witness to the world, it's ultimately damaging or hurting your own spiritual posture as a follower and a witness for the light of Jesus Christ. Every day we face temptation. Every day we're tempted to reject God's will, His good and perfect and holy and pleasing will, which we prayed about already earlier in this prayer. Every day, whether we realize it or not, every day we face spiritual opposition to basic faithfulness. Your prayer life, your time in God's Word, the simple kindness to a stranger. There is a spiritual opposition network, as you heard in our passage in Ephesians 6, that exists to prevent followers of Jesus Christ to being on full power in our walk with Jesus. Now we look at our prayer this morning, and it says, lead us not into temptation. I want to make very clear, it's not as if God is the one leading us into temptation. God doesn't do that. He allows testing and trials. But this prayer is really saying, God, it's not that you're leading me into temptation. It's that without your protection, so we're back to that protection plan, without your protection, that's where I'm going to go. So lead me not into temptation. We profess these words in the Heidelberg Catechism, by ourselves. This is very humbling. But by ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own. Even for a moment. If you spent the rest of the week reflecting on those words, I would hope, alongside what we're going to hear this morning, your own walk with Jesus would be strengthened, because now you're realizing how much we depend on God's protection and what He gives us to help protect ourselves. See, now God intends, Psalm 23, a wonderful psalm, God intends for you and myself to walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's Psalm 23. That's His intent, that's His plan, that's His hope for you and I as we make our way through the week ahead. The problem is my sinful nature does not intend that. And the powers of this world will prevent us as much as possible from walking in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's why we need God's protection. If we're going to stand firm, going to our passage this morning in Ephesians 6, it's only going to happen if we are strong in the Lord. If we are strong in His mighty power. Shelve completely the American, if not the Western, mindset of individualism that says, I can do my own thing and do my own way and follow my own. Don't shelve all of that and just embrace what Paul says here in Ephesians 6, verse 10. If we're going to be strong, it's only going to be in the Lord and in His mighty power, His protection power. Because after all, as Paul goes on to say in the next few verses, our struggle is a spiritual battle. It's against the rulers, he says, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And you and I cannot stand against them on our own. We don't stand a chance. And as I said already, that's very humbling. It's also why cruise control Christianity, and by the way, cruise control is another wonderful addition to the automobile industry, a big fan, but cruise control Christianity, it doesn't work. We don't get to set that and just go on our merry way. As we profess again in the Heidelberg Catechism, our sworn enemies, and they list three of them, they're all interconnected in many ways, but our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. I've said this already. The spiritual struggle is real, whether we realize it or not. Every day, as Paul is saying in Ephesians 6, there are realities and forces at work that are seeking to prevent us from faithful following of Jesus Christ. And that's why he includes it, this petition, in the Lord's Prayer. Because somehow we need to stand strong, we need to stand firm, because these powers are always going to be. I mean, I've mentioned this already in that wonderful hymn, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It, Prone to Leave the God I Love. That's part of that's the sinful flesh thing. We have our own trouble. We give the devil plenty of material. We really do. But it's material he uses. And if we're going to stand firm against him, we need to pray this petition because we are always under attack. It's not just our sinful nature, which we have to put to death every day, says Paul in Colossians 3. It's that we need to stand firm. We need to resist the devil. James tells us in James 4, I believe it is, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Take that for fact. Take it as a truth that you and I get to hold dearly in our walk with Jesus, that we get to resist him, the evil one. But how does that happen? Well, look at the sixth petition. Here's a prayer for spiritual protection. Here is God's strategy, and Jesus invites us to pray this, not only lead us not into temptation, but also to deliver us from the evil one. In the Gospels, we know the story, and maybe we need to be reminded of it, that Jesus, at one point early in his ministry, right after his baptism, he is taken by the Spirit into the wilderness, and it's in the wilderness that he is tempted. Well, the devil tries to tempt him. We find that Jesus each time responds to the temptation of the devil by quoting Scripture, which is a phenomenal tool. All right, we'll hear about that in the armor of God. But he resists the evil one. I share that only as a way of reminding you, if Jesus is going to get tempted, why would we be spared? If Jesus is going to be attacked, why should we think for a moment, any moment, that the evil one would leave us alone? These three things are attacking us constantly. And we need to shackle them. We need to bind them, and I believe that's a biblical concept, to bind them against us, which are working against us, so that we are more online or in line with where Jesus is calling us. At this point, I just want to make a quick little side note. I referenced this a moment ago, that some people tend to overrealize the devil. C.S. Lewis has written about this. He says, in general, there are two kind of people, people who over-realize Satan and people who under-realize him. We have to be in the middle of this thing. We don't find Satan in every sniffle. We don't find the devil in every sinus infection. We don't find the devil when you've lost your car keys. Oh, the devil must be at work. Don't do that. But he is present. And as you and I are walking with Jesus, the priority of this petition, which is the sixth petition, right? It's in the second part of it, which is the us prayers. These are the things we have to pray for ourselves. We're recognizing the evil one exists. He's powerful. He's not he's no longer invincible, right? He's been defeated, but he's still powerful. And he exists. And one of the ways that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, and think about how Jesus is doing this for us. He's teaching us to pray this prayer. Pray the prayer that says, my protection comes from God. My protection comes from the Holy One, who allows me then to resist the evil one. And so Paul tells us in this passage in Ephesians 6 how to do that. But let me just say this a little bit about this protection plan, because we looked at the three that are attacking us, and each of them can be addressed clearly from Scripture. When we talk about the world, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. When it talks about our sinful nature, just to use a common phrase, follow your heart, doesn't work. Instead, this is what we should cling to. And let's read this verse together. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Think about that phrase. He will provide a way out. We're talking about God's spiritual protection plan. He is our faithful protector. And when we turn to him, he says, this is his promise, I will provide a way out. But he's actually done even more than that. He's provided us with the tools, the resources, or what Paul calls his armor, God's armor, that you and I are to put on. You see, to be protected by his power and strength, Paul is saying here, we need to put on the full armor of God. Not just one piece, all of it. So let's look at this passage. I'm just going to run through it very quickly here. I know there have been sermons written on each part of the armor of God, and that's fantastic, but we're just going to do a sort of a 30,000-foot view at it. But please make this very personal. Please remember that all of it is what we need to put on. All of it is part of God's protection plan. So when Jesus teaches us this prayer, I believe this is part of what he has in mind. That if we're going to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, these are the resources he's calling us to embrace. This is how we stand firm. He begins with the belt of truth. Where do we put that belt? We don't hang it on a hook somewhere in our house. We put it around us. It needs to be that close to us. And then he talks about the breastplate of righteousness, right? This breastplate, this thing that covers all the vital organs. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then he talks about how our feet, it's a beautiful picture, our feet need to be fitted with the gospel. Because how else are we going to do what Peter tells us to do in 1 Peter 3? How else are we going to give an answer to everyone who asks to give a reason for the hope that we have unless our feet are shod or fitted with the very gospel itself? So there's just three parts already. We've got the belt and the breastplate and feet that are ready. Paul goes on to say, in order to resist the evil one and his snares, we also need the shield. So this is just, of course, a picture I found online, but I think it's a wonderful picture. You see this great big shield. This is in that day of an age, the Roman Empire more than likely carried shields that were 4 to 5 feet height, but it was meant to protect the entire body in every frontal assault. In the same way, Paul says, this is what we do as followers of Jesus Christ. We put on the shield of faith. It's a faith that trusts God is for us, as Paul says in Romans 8, and if God is for us, who can be against us? Or as John says in John 4, a faith that says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's how powerful the shield of faith is. So we have all these parts already. We got this belt and the breastplate and the feet and the shield. He goes on to talk about the helmet. And here's a picture. It's a Roman centurion. And the helmet, of course, protected your head. And the helmet of hope, or really the helmet of hope and salvation, says Paul. The helmet that assures us. As Paul says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's the helmet that protects. And then comes the sword of the Spirit. This mighty sword which cuts through the lies the enemy is telling you about your value and worth and significance or your salvation and standing in Jesus Christ. You take the sword of the Spirit and it cuts through every accusation of the evil one. And then Paul wraps it all up. So you have all these parts, right? The helmet and the breastplate and the belt and the sword and the shield and the feet, all of it together. But the clear part at the end of this passage fits so well with our story and series today, which is, and put it all on with prayer. Put it all on with prayer, says Paul. Over all of these resources that God gives you as this protection plan in your spiritual journey, all of it manufactured as all they've done for the auto industry as well, manufactured so that when you're under attack, you are protected. Paul says, put it all on with prayer in complete reliance on the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? I wonder too often if I don't go out into the world with not even one of those pieces on like they should, let alone all six of them. I wonder how often we don't do that in our relationships or when we're struggling with doubt or if there's some medical crisis or something and we forget that God has given us the things to put on so that we can resist whatever evil accusations the devil wants to put in our hearts. And here's the promise behind the sixth petition. When we put on all of this, and we got to do it every morning, when we clothe ourselves with God's armor, we become exactly what God says we become at the first part of this passage, strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And that's why we confess the rest of this question and answer here. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit so that we may not go down into defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies, firmly, until we win the complete victory. I don't know how you're feeling some days about your own spiritual journey. I want this. Pretty sure you do too. I want this promise that the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us of. To be strong in the strength of the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, too often I don't feel that strong. Too often we don't feel that strong because we try to be strong on our own. We think we can battle the attacker out of sheer willpower. And the proof that we can't is seen in how weak some of us are. And how the evil one and the world and our sinful nature, which are constantly attacking us, how those three keep winning. I'm not pointing fingers other than to myself this morning. I'm not enough. You're not enough. But the good news of the gospel reminds us this morning that there is hope for those who are tempted. And it's in the one who was tempted in every way, but stood firm. It's in Christ, to whom we come back to again and again. It's in Christ who through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, he delivers us. Just as we pray, he delivers us from the grip of sin and from the tempter's power. because the evil one is defeated. He's not powerless, but he is defeated. And my hope and your hope and our hope in the struggle, if we're going to resist the one, the evil one, in the power of Jesus' name, it is going to be in Jesus' name and the victory that he secures for us already today. It also means we need to pray the sixth petition with all seriousness. Lead me, lead us, O Father. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us from the evil one. Help me, O Lord, help me to flee from temptation. Help me to fix my eyes on Jesus. When I'm tempted, O God, this is the prayer we get to pray. When I'm tempted, O God, lead me away from it. Let me kill it instead. Let me put it to death. Deliver me from all and every attack, which is every day constant against me, which comes from the evil one. Deliver me there too. And then we heard this morning, if we're going to stand firm, let's put on the armor. Because spiritual struggle is real. As is the strength of our sworn enemies. But so is the power of our Jesus. And so is the armor, God's protection plan. And it led me this week to think about these words from Psalm 91. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. Because he acknowledges my name. What a wonderful promise as you and I face another week. And I don't know what it's all going to look like, but believer, beware. There is a struggle. But our strength comes from the Lord. And the power of his might. And the promise, he says, that I will protect you. Now gird up your loins. Put on your armor. Grab the belt and the breastplate, the helmet and the sword. Fit your feet. Put on all these parts and put them on with prayer so that this promise becomes yours. Because only those who trust in Jesus can find that promise to be true. Stand up for Jesus, as we're going to sing in a moment, because you stand firm in Jesus, the great protector of all come to him. As we're going to sing in just a moment, let's put on each piece of armor with prayer, because the spiritual struggle is real. Don't let that unnerve you this morning. Let it remind you that you cannot cruise control your way forward. We need the power of the Lord, and we need to pray this prayer. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, and he will. Let's pray together. God in heaven, in the spiritual struggle that you've placed us in because of our allegiance to Jesus, which is truly a gift of grace, we pray you'll help us again this week start anew every day putting on the armor, your armor, the Lord's armor, that we too may stand strong in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may resist the devil, resist the call to conformity with the world, resist our own sinful nature, which calls us to be weak in Jesus. Instead, as we're going to sing in a moment, help us, O God, to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. For our power is in him, and we need it. And we thank you for giving it to us in your spiritual protection plan. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.